Uncle Tau. Aloha everyone. Thank you very much for listening to this program. Konko Talk is a program where people in the Konko faith talk about various topics. The thought and opinion we share on this program may differ from yours, but we hope that you will enjoy and learn something new. Probably we'll learn something new that may affect our thoughts, behaviors, and action for the better. Our different backgrounds, religion, thought, and culture provide the diversity that strengthens our community. Just like biodiversity is essential for a healthy planet Earth. I am Koichi Konko from the Konko Museum of Honolulu. Joining me are Amy and Edna.
Amy and Edna, could you introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Edna from the Konko Museum of Wahiwa.
Okay. And I'm Amy. Oh, sorry. And I'm Amy from the Konko Museum of Wailuku.
Thank you. Yeah, so I'd like to talk about pandemic today. You know, we have been suffering this pandemic for over 1 year already, but still suffering. In Hawaii, it's gradually opening, but many areas still increasing the number of people who have COVID-19.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what kind of impact did you experience from this pandemic? New life, any change before and after pandemic?
Well, this is Edna. Well, we've always been putting on our masks since the pandemic started. So now when we go outside, it feels kind of weird if we don't have our masks on.
I feel like
you're kind of naked.
naked.
Yeah, so now it feels strange not to have the mask on.
Right, yeah. When watch your TV, all the program, and they so close each other without any mask or any, what you call the board. And it's kind of weird to watch those kind of a scene. We're so used to wearing a mask or social distancing.
Mm-hmm. Right, it's kind of easy to tell if something was recorded pre-COVID or not. Because they're closer together if it's pre-COVID without masks and
right.
Yeah, but now I see a lot of TV shows that have adopted. They have their hosts separated. The newscasters are all further separated.
Mm-hmm.
We've all kind of had to learn a different way of interacting with people because of the pandemic.
Right.
So that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, this pandemic, the impact is very huge, almost like after 9/11 and before. When we go to airport, we can tell that before it's so easy, but now if we cannot park in the street, there's a guard or someone, cannot park here, you have to leave. Yeah, even cannot go to the bathroom, I gotta go, but I have to all the way to the parking to go to, But something like that is huge, it's still ongoing. Any other changes? Nothing?
Not really. I don't view the pandemic as a suffering. To me, I don't feel that I suffered in any way due to this pandemic. Sure, it was different. Like at work, we have to, wear those N95 masks and the shield and stuff like that. But, the social distancing we have to do now. But it just became like a new part of life.
You adapted.
So it didn't feel like, oh, I'm suffering. Oh, I gotta wear this mask all the time. Oh, can I go to my favorite places anymore? I'm suffering. No, I don't feel that way. More like, oh, I'm looking forward to when, things will open up so I can go to eat out at restaurants. And look forward to traveling. And although I really miss those places right now because we can't go, I don't feel like I'm suffering. I feel like I can't wait to go, I'm so excited when Japan will open up again. Yeah.
That's an interesting take because for me it was hard not to be able to travel, go back to Maui for a year and a half. So I just recently went back to Maui for the first time after a year and a half, and it was kind of a little bit nerve-wracking to go through the airport and to be in a plane.
I see.
After the pandemic, you kind of look at things differently.
Mm-hmm.
But I would say, aside from the small inconveniences, And aside from not being able to see my family in person, I wouldn't say the pandemic was all bad. Maybe, like, I think it gave people a lot of people a chance to view, take a reevaluation of their surroundings and of their world, and kind of take a look at what really is necessary and what's not, what's important and what's not. I think it gave people a chance to do that, kind of take some time for themselves that wouldn't have had time for themselves otherwise. When everything is busy, you know, you got other commitments and you have to take care of other people. But during the pandemic, it kind of forced you, especially during the lockdown, forced you to stay home. You couldn't really hang out with your friends, though we found some ways to do that anyway. But it kind of gave me a chance to take a look at what was really important in life. So I think it was a blessing more than not.
Today, I was listening to the radio when I was driving from Waipio to Wahiwa. NPR radio, they were talking about experience goods, it's called. And I never heard of that before, but it's usually used towards something that you buy. But now they've been using this term for like blue skies. You know how we take for granted blue skies in Hawaii because we see it all the time. We see rainbow. That's like a normal. But like in China, the skies are usually gray or like white because of the heavy pollution. But since the pandemic, I guess all that pollution cleared up, and you're mentioning how they're finally able to see blue skies. And people just adored the blue sky. They're like, oh my goodness, like I didn't even know the sky was blue. And it was an experience for them, and it was an experience good for them because they now know what a blue sky looks like, and they love it. They absolutely love it now, and they don't want to go back to those gray polluted skies again. So now there is movement going on in China, like social media postings, a lot of people giving support to let's keep the sky blue. And they're going eco-friendly, producing more electric cars, and just doing things that are better for the environment and for the air quality, and trying to reduce pollution as much as possible. So in this way, the pandemic really made people wake up.
Right.
Countries wake up as well.
We have to stop, the force to stop. So we have to think, and that's everybody's experience. We have to experience those kind of a stop experience, I guess. But for my son, the huge change, he was not able to go to school. And I'm so sorry for teachers at first. They have to work so hard online, everything. You have to establish the different methods. It's online, and for younger children, it's so hard to stay in front of a computer all day long. Even my son, it was hard for him. He kind of know how to use computer, so he can focus on the class, but he play something else or watch YouTube, you know, something like that. Some people lost, job and no income. I know it's very hard. Yeah, I noticed locking down less people in the streets, only a few car people, by so many homeless people coming to our church using the water, you know, something like that. Maybe new homeless, and I'm sorry for them, but I don't know what to do.
If you look at from that standpoint, really, for me personally, I haven't suffered this pandemic, but looking at some other people that have lost their jobs, that can't be reunited with their family, I think that they had a really tough time.
Right. Yeah, it's one interesting thing that was early on in the pandemic, like I think a lot of people automatically felt it was a negative thing, and it was, you know, like the end of the world, and you know, a lot of people were in panic, anxiety attacks and all that. But I think early on I had a discussion with my friend, and she pointed out that, you know, there's a lot of people having a hard time with this, but we're so blessed because we've, you know, working the job that we work, we had work to do, you know, we weren't reliant on the travel industry or anything like that. So we were so blessed, and it was a big reminder for me, because I wasn't always happy with my work and having to do what I do. But I think because of the pandemic, it really showed me that, yeah, it's a stable job. It doesn't, you know, I was able to have a paycheck the whole time. I didn't have to worry about being on unemployment or anything like that. I was very blessed and was able to work throughout. So though there was a good and bad to it, for the most part, we had to concentrate on the fact that we were really blessed to work where we work. Yeah.
Yeah, I learned about first responder and essential workers. I never pay attention to the word before. But yeah, we need the first responders so they can save many people. And essential workers continue to work so that we can receive many, you know, necessary stuff, food, materials, water, or, you know, electricity, all the stuff. I never pay attention, just so used to. I think I should say thank you to those, you know, essential workers too, the first responder. Never thought too much about their work.
Yeah, I think the pandemic really helped people. Like, I just think about my brother who works for a grocery store, and how this pandemic showed everyone that the grocery store workers are essential workers, how essential they actually are. I mean, there's a whole lot of other positions out there that were considered essential workers, and you kind of don't really realize until something like this happens how important their jobs are and what they do and how much we depend on them.
Right.
Yeah.
The transporters, how can I say? Mm-hmm. Like shipping, you know, there's
truck
a rumor
driver.
That, yeah, a truck driver, yeah, rumors, yeah, that the ship will stop coming to Hawaii.
Stuff.
And many people panic, and the Costco and every grocery shop is so much line, so hard to even just pass the street.
Yeah, you think about how hard they had to work. They worked extra so that people could stay calm somewhat and get what they needed.
Pretty crazy that, you know, we actually had that period where there was a toilet paper shortage, and now there's like a mountain of toilet paper rolls on. You feel so grateful and thankful.
Yeah, who would ever think toilet paper would be gold, right?
Because during the panic buying stage of everyone, and when the toilet paper was really scarce, like there was no toilet paper anywhere you went, like I was worried too. And there was an ad that popped up when I was, I think, looking at Facebook or something, and it says toilet paper that came in like a big carton. So I was like, oh, and you're selling it for pretty cheap, and you're even going to ship it to Hawaii. So I jumped on it, and I waited a few weeks, and my toilet paper didn't arrive yet.
Oh.
And I'm like, this is really strange. And then I noticed that it was a scam.
Oh
no.
Yeah, so I was like, oh my goodness, that company has my credit card information.
Oh gosh.
And I was like, oh gosh, what am I gonna do? It was about $70, by the way. And I was like, oh my gosh, he just took my money. And I heard that other people actually bought into that scam too, and they lost their money. But I went to the credit card company, and I called them, and they also investigated and confirmed that it was a scam. And I was able, thankfully, get my money back.
Oh, thank goodness.
Can you believe how many scams there were out there, especially during the height of the pandemic? Many people were getting scammed.
So many masks. I think I bought some, I might have bought some 20 masks or something. I remember, the state of panic makes people not think clearly.
Right.
Yes, because we have enough toilet paper for everybody in Hawaii if we buy as usual. Because of panic, the people bought more than enough they need, and that's why some people wasn't able to buy, while other people purchased too many toilet papers. Yeah, so that's an interesting experience for me.
I mean, I was one of those people. Well, I still am. I still hoard. I'm hoarding. Paper. But yeah, it forces the because people were panicking, the people who didn't intend to hoard or take away from other people are kind of forced to, because you don't want to be stuck without.
Yeah.
It kind of brings out the selfishness in you. I know that's selfish of me to hoard, but
yeah, the community is important, because if I have enough and you're a friend, and if you don't have enough, well, I can share to you. You know, if we have a strong community, we can share. Probably still we can, even though it's challenge, we can share, so we can get over. But if you don't have a strong community and by yourself, very scary. Of course, you be panicked.
Yeah.
How about any change in your faith life? I mean, you go to church regularly, we practice faith, Congo faith. Any change?
For me, so I'm an associate minister of the Congo Mission of Wahiwa. And really right after the pandemic started, we had to live stream everything.
Mm.
And I'm really glad that we began to Facebook live stream our services, our weekly services, including the sermon. And, you know, when people stopped coming, I felt kind of sad, you know. I was like, oh, no one comes to the church. Well, no one can't come to the church anymore, but how am I going to focus my heart to the numbers of people that come? Or am I going to face my heart to coming someone? So that really challenged me. You know, people are more concerned about the numbers. Like, oh, a good church or a successful church has a lot of members, like so many members that there is overflowing. But that's the kind of image I had in the beginning, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, a full church. Oh, lots of the seats are full. And that's what made me happy. And when those seats were empty, my heart felt kind of empty. But then I think the pandemic really retrained or recalibrated my heart that the numbers aren't what's important anymore. It's more about how much I still trust in Kamisama, how much faith I still have in Kamisama. And even if there's no one filling the seats of the church anymore, am I still able to hold the joy? And that's Kamisama's test to me. So I feel Kamisama has challenged me, and that me in that way. And I don't feel it as suffering, but I think of it as like a challenge. So now that we are in the pandemic state, what can we do? How can we improve our church where people can still be enriched, still receive blessings, and still receive benefits of following the church? And, so we continue to have our online live stream. And because of that, we've been having followers from the mainland, Japan. So it's like a new audience.
Right.
And I'm really grateful for that. And every time we live stream, I upload it to YouTube. So people who don't have Facebook can still look at it on YouTube. And I've seen people who look at our videos online. In that way, if their faith can spread to even one more person, one more individual, and I think that's my goal. It's like my fuel to keep me moving.
I see. Mm. I start to watch more YouTube and search Kongo Kyo, and I can see more church activities. Many churches that they open the YouTube channels to kind of enjoy their services or sermon, what they're doing, challenging and interesting to us.
I don't know how it's changed for me per se. I think I've gone more into myself, which may not be a good thing. And I don't know if it's necessarily because of the pandemic, but I find myself, even though I live in the church, right upstairs from the Hiromai, I find myself not going to the Hiromai as often. But I find myself praying in my own room. I don't know why that's changed, or if that's because of the pandemic or not, or what it is. But I think my role in the church has changed a little bit because of the pandemic. I think I found myself, I almost feel like I'm unofficially just running the kitchen for the Honolulu church, which I enjoy doing. It comes naturally to me to cook for people. And then because of the pandemic, we started making bentos for each of the bigger events.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, along with Paula's help, we just kind of come up with the menu, and we do that kind of more often. It's that might be something that may continue, although I kind of miss the potlucks too. But I don't know if it's easier. I don't know if it's easier. It's different making bentos. But yeah, we can make bentos, and we can actually reach out to people who couldn't make it to church. I know Sensei goes and delivers a few of the bentos to people that couldn't make it to church for that event, which is kind of nice too. So it's kind of, I kind of see how food still brings people together.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true, because people come next day. Usually I like to give like some food or snack or candy, yeah, the osagari. But they, I don't eat usually, but bento, they receive, they enjoy that.
Yeah, even for our church too, our gutaisai, our spring and autumn grand ceremonies are, it's always at nighttime, 6:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time the service ends, it's around close to 8 o'clock, 8:30. And before, we used to really have our potluck, you know, dinners downstairs in the basement. And then by the time everyone's done eating and stuff, it's about 10 o'clock, which is very, very late, especially for people who, you know, are driving from town. So because of the pandemic, we also changed bentos.
Mm-hmm.
But after our service is done, we just distribute the bentos, and they can just go straight home and enjoy it in the comfort of their own homes, and it's not too late. So I think people are more happier. And for us too, I think the cleanup is less.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm not trying to complain that it was bad before, because we loved it before, but it's like we love it like this too, you know? This is pretty good. And people have really enjoyed the bentos as well. And we look forward to the next time we make bentos.
Yeah, I feel like Wahiwa Church's bentos have leveled up each time. And it's like, look at, they made fruit cups. Look, they made them all so cute.
It's like, you know, it's an excitement for me. Like, oh, what shall we make the menu next time? And what changes can we make? How can we improve our bentos? And it was fun for me. And we also enjoy like going to the other churches and trying out their bentos, because they're really good too. Like Honolulu Yokai and Waipahu Church had a bentos as well. So I loved it. I enjoyed it.
We use online, what can I say, like a YouTube or Facebook, but each church start to use broadcast their services. So basically anybody can watch even the live. That kind of neat, because we have a couple of the funeral or memorial services, and I help them to broadcast lively, and the people even living in Maui or Japan or maybe England or mainland were able to watch that. Maybe not live streaming, but they are able to watch later on. And I think that's very meaningful for them. They're physically far, but they were able to attend the services. I never thought that way before pandemic.
Yeah, definitely the way people meet has changed, and it's expanded. People have expanded their definition of meeting, I think, because of the pandemic.
For sermons as well, you know, we get requests from the mainland, KCNA, Opa Churches of North America. Some of the churches, they request us to deliver a sermon for like their gotaisai, like how we can ask them to, you know, deliver a sermon. And yeah, before, you know, we had to kind of bring them over in person, be guest speakers, but now we can do it all virtual. So you don't have to worry about buying your tickets or anything. Maybe like send a gratuity, but it's pretty convenient in so many ways.
I think in a lot of ways the pandemic kept people apart physically, but thanks to technology, virtually people are able to connect easier in this way. So it's kind of interesting.
We covered a lot today. I enjoy myself very much, but it's time to end. I hope you enjoy today's discussion too. Thank you very much for joining us today. Thank you to Amy and Anna for the talk story session. We'll continue to talk about the pandemic next time and discuss, is this pandemic a punishment from God coming? We hope to see you next time. Thank you. Bye-bye.